showing you how to reignite the embers of a distant and lonely relationship into a blazing, emotionally intimate connection. I'm your host, Amber Dawson. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. A few of my favorite things are my husband, grapes, and my adorable little dog, Riggs. Now let's learn how to create a soul-crushing love that lasts. Get subscribed in your podcast app so that simply by listening, you can rekindle your relationship by pouring a little gas on your relationship ember. This podcast is for informational purposes and should not be misconstrued for specific relationship advice. For advice for your specific relationship, seek a local couples therapist for relationship counseling or couples therapy. Welcome back to Relationship Psych, the podcast. Today we're talking about three essential skills for managing conflict. If you've ever wished to be heard, or maybe that it felt safe to have difficult conversations in your relationship, or maybe you just want to be good role models for your kids so that as they grow up, they know how to fight. If you've ever felt any of those ways, this episode is for you. I was trying to come up with a good TV show example to illustrate the concepts, but I've been watching Halo. I've never played the video game Halo, and I didn't know what to expect. In case you're wondering, I thought the TV show was great. There's lots of awesome graphics. I was certainly entertained. It felt more like a movie, a series of movies, than a TV show. But anyways, I don't have a good TV show example for you. But I have a lot of cases in my caseload right now that have to do with alcohol. So I just mashed a whole bunch of these cases together. This isn't actually one case, one person. This is a whole bunch of cases together that kind of goes over a conflict that some people have had and then gives three essential skills for how I work with these couples, how they can manage conflict better so that they can feel better heard, have safer conversations, and be proud of how they're handling an incredibly difficult situation. So this is the story of Stevie and Chris. They have been together 15 years, and when they started dating, they enjoyed going out for the nightlife in Toronto. Eventually, they moved in together, and even after they lived together, once or twice a week, they would go out for dinner after work, they'd split a bottle of wine, and walking hand in hand, they'd head back to their 550 square foot condo just a few blocks down from the downtown Toronto core. Drinking was something fun, something they shared. In 2020, when the pandemic hit, they started working from home. And with no clear end of the workday transition from day to night, no clear delineation of weekdays and weekends, they spent the first few weeks of the pandemic having drinks from home during the day. Since, hey, after all, work from home was only supposed to be for like 2 weeks. But once in a while, that bottle of wine they used to share turned into two. And instead of it being a couple of times a week, it turned into a daily shared bottle. And since they often started drinking earlier, they got to two bottles of wine. Once May 2020 rolled around, they were still working from home and drinking daily, and Stevie suggested, hey, maybe they take 30 days off booze. So maybe they could try to shed that COVID 5 pounds they had both put on. Chris agreed. The first 3 days went great. Both of them weren't drinking. They were doing super well until 3:30 rolled around. 3:30 had been the time that Chris was pouring his first glass of wine as he finished up his emails. He was loving the COVID routine of having a glass of wine as he finished his workday. It was a beautiful spring day, and there was a crisp white in the fridge. It was calling him. Stevie had gone out for a walk with friends, so he thought, hey, you know, I could probably have a glass, pour the rest of the bottle out, and she wouldn't be any the wiser. That secret drink happened once, then twice, and before he knew it, the secret drink was a regular occurrence. Until December 2020, when Stevie found out. She was pissed. It was a major betrayal for her. Chris agreed he had a problem and promptly sought out some help. Now, 3 years later, Chris is on a much better track with his drinking. He does still drink, and most of the time, things are fine. They haven't really had any problems since early 2021, so it's been a couple of years. Now, as is the sticky, tricky, interesting thing with many alcohol problems, they're very sneaky and can rear up their ugly heads. They could get worse or cause a new problem. So in January 2023, Chris went away with some friends and he drank heavily on the trip and lied about it. When he got back, Stevie found out, and they had a series of fights about the drinking and the lying that accompanied it. As you can guess, drinking can be a serious issue in relationships. It can be something that destroys relationships if it's done in a problematic way. Heck, I mean, drinking can be problematic for just individuals, let alone a relationship. But this episode isn't about me breaking down alcohol use disorders. So instead, I'm going to talk about some tips that I give couples that are having a hard time talking. And in a case like this, like, obviously there's real reason to be upset. In this case, Stevie has every right to be fearful, upset, resentful, betrayed, or a whole wide array of emotions. Now, how she expresses those emotions is where she has control and the power to influence how the conversation goes. Equally, Chris probably has a whole bunch of emotions, maybe upset, anger, shame, guilt, regret, remorse, resentment. So he can have so many emotions too, and how he handles those emotions is where he has control and influence in how the conversation goes. So here are three essential skills that could help Steve and Chris talk about Chris's drinking, even though it's such a tricky topic. The first skill is describing yourself, not your partner. So like the therapy cliche, you have probably heard about using I statements. Let's go over what is a helpful I statement and what is a less helpful I statement. So a big mistake I see a lot of people use when they're using I statements is they throw like an I feel in front of a criticism. For example, I feel you are being selfish. Do you see how sneaky that was? I feel went at first, but then they didn't state a feeling. They just threw in a criticism followed by the I feel you are being selfish, not an I statement. Next, here's another less helpful example. I feel you're an alcoholic and need some help. Again, throwing the words I feel in front of a criticism. Again, not that super helpful. So here are some better I statements that actually talk about how you feel, what you're upset about, and what you might need. For example, I feel betrayed because of the secrets kept from me. I need you to be honest what happened on the trip and your drinking in the future. You see how that one's different? I feel betrayed, labeled an actual emotion word, then about what, because of the secrets you kept from me, then stating a need. I need you to be honest about what happened on the trip and in the future. Okay, I've got another example for you. I am really worried about your drinking. I'm concerned it's turning into a problem. I would like you to go back to your old therapist and work on this again. Again, this one talks about the feelings, about what, and makes a request for something different. So those are examples of less helpful I statements and more helpful I statements. When we talk about ourselves, when we describe ourselves, it is way easier for our partner to hear us. As soon as you start describing your partner, that turns into a criticism. And you know what a natural response to criticism is? To defend yourself or to shut down. And if your goal is to have a safe conversation where you actually have a conversation, no one is raising their voice to make a counterpoint, no one is storming off, walking away, it is critical that you stay away from describing the other person, because that is one of the surefire ways to have a conversation go sideways. Again, in this case, Stevie would have every right to be upset and to bring up her concerns. How she talks about it is what matters here. One of the mistakes I see is a lot of people, when they're hurt or upset, they believe that they should get to talk to their partner however they want. And like, you can do that. But like I said, if you lead with criticism, your partner is going to respond with defensiveness. So if Stevie goes in and is like, you're so selfish, Chris. Okay, like, Stevie might not be wrong, but how would you respond if someone said you were selfish? Are you gonna sit there and be like, yeah, you know, actually, I think you're right, I am. Chances are you're not gonna respond that way. You're gonna respond with like, no, I'm not, defensiveness. Or, do you know where you're selfish? I'm not the only one who in this relationship who is selfish. So defensiveness is playing innocent victim or warding off the attack. Or counterattacking. So in a case like this, here's the thing, Stevie might not be wrong, maybe he is selfish, but presenting the information in that way is going to get in the way of her being heard. It's gonna get in the way of her needs being met. It's gonna get in the way of them having a conversation, and it's gonna increase the chances they get into a big fight. So You are responsible for how you bring up your feelings. And the formula for a gentle startup is to describe yourself, talk about how you feel about what you need. So in these examples, here is the second thing to talk about when we're thinking about an essential skill that could help you in conflict. The second is to state your positive needs. Your positive needs, all right? It is so easy when you're upset to talk about what you do not want. After all, your partner just did something. It triggered you, and now you want to complain about it or criticize them. There are times when it's relevant to talk about what happened, but then ask for what you do want. Behind every complaint of something you don't want, there is a need. And if you're having a hard time figuring out what it is you need, it's going to be even harder for your partner to figure out what it is you need. So if you work hard to figure out what is your positive need behind your complaint, it's going to be way easier for your partner to meet those needs. Here are some Stevie and Chris examples. Here's an example of Stevie, what she could say stating the negative. You kept your drinking from me again. Don't keep secrets. How Stevie could state her positive need. Even if I won't like the answer, I need you to be honest with me about your drinking. Which one of those is easier to hear as the receiver? You kept your drinking from me. Don't do that again. Don't keep secrets. Or even if I don't like the answer, I need you to be honest with me about your drinking. What one would you respond better to? Here are Chris expressing his needs. Chris could say from the negative, you come at me so harsh. Here's an example of what Chris could say, a reframe to state the positive need. It would help more if we had more tone neutral conversations about my drinking. What's gonna make you respond better? If someone says you come at me so harsh, or it would help me if we could have more tone neutral conversations about my drinking. So look, you might react still to the positive need, but you wanna think what is easier, which one is gonna increase the chances of you being heard, having a safe conversation, and getting your point across. Chances are, it's stating that positive need. All right, third essential skill. This one is incredibly hard, but I probably talk about it every day. It's biting your tongue. So around sensitive topics, especially like this one, drinking is such a freaking sensitive topic. It is so common when your partner is talking to want to stop them, interrupt them, correct them, disagree with them as soon as they say something you don't like or don't agree with. But don't do that. Bite your tongue and let them share their point of view. It is okay to let someone finish talking, even if you don't agree. It's helpful in making them feel safe, making them feel like their point of view can be heard, even if you disagree or don't like it. And many couples who are struggling with drinking, the person who has the problem with drinking often feels unsafe to share. The spouse without the problem is usually torn between wanting their partner to talk, but also wanting to rage or criticize the behavior of their partner because they're so hurt and understandably upset. But a key in getting your partner to share is making it safe for them to share. I'm not saying you can't be mad. Of course you can be mad. Just try to let your partner have a turn at sharing. When they are done sharing, you could say something like, is that everything? Is there anything else? And then when they're done, you can take a turn. It doesn't mean you like what they're saying. It doesn't mean you agree with what they're saying. This is practice in tolerating different points of view. And if you have ever met another person, you will know that eventually at some point, someone will have a different point of view than you. One of the best ways to be influential is to make someone feel heard and understood to their satisfaction before stating your position. We are much more swayed easily. It's easier for us to hear someone when we feel heard by them. This is a really hard thing to do, especially around a topic that is sensitive, difficult, there's hurt, there's anger, there's resentment, to bite your tongue. I know, it is so hard, but it can really go a long way in managing conflict and finding and moving from a place where both people are unheard, feeling disrespected, not understood, to feeling heard again, feeling more respected, feeling understood, just by letting each other fully get out your points of view without interrupting or correcting. So We have talked about three things today that can help difficult topics, even when the conflict is about something really sensitive. So we talked about a really sensitive issue today, the alcohol, but these skills can help you even if you're talking about something more simple, like emptying the dishwasher. I mean, that can be really sensitive for some people too. So the things we've talked about today are describing yourself, not your partner, using those I statements, stating a positive need, so talking about what you do want instead of what you don't want. And lastly, we talked about biting your tongue, just allowing your partner to share without interruption, listening to them like you would a friend, and then tolerating their different point of view. I know it is hard. I have worked with so many couples around tricky, difficult issues, including a lot of couples with substance use, and I find when couples can do just a few things, state their needs in a positive way, describe themselves, and allow their partner to talk without interruption, we can move from conflict discussions to having a dialogue. It doesn't mean there isn't feelings. There's probably feelings, but it is a dialogue rather than a battle. Thank you for tuning in to Relationship Psych, the podcast, put on by Ember Relationship Psychology. If you're looking for more free relationship help or advice that comes straight from the couples therapy room, check out the free resources and the blog at www.emberrelationshippsychology.com.